First Thessalonians chapter 5, and we start from verse 1.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Okay, here St. Paul is saying, I don't have to tell you about the seasons and times, because everyone knows. But he's not talking about the seasons like regular seasons. He's telling there will be time that we have to leave this world. So he said, only the world doesn't know this, but you know yourself. And when the world is saying, have a good time, like the word of God said, this will be like time of Noah or time of Sodom and Gomorrah. What they were doing? They didn't know the destruction is coming. They were having good time. The same way today, the people of God is saying Jesus Christ is coming. And how many people are ready? How many people wants to hear that thing? And many people are busy doing their own things. So he says, I don't have to tell you Jesus Christ is coming. You heard that he's coming like a thief in the night. Now today's thief, they don't come only night, they come anytime. In those days, in the night time, there was no street lights in those days. Thief can only come in the night time. But today, thief can come anytime. And so, he says, but I'm telling you, the people who are thinking Jesus Christ is not coming, they are thinking that let's have a good time. And when they are having fun, sudden destruction will come. How many people having good time in the parties and some kind of dancings, and the whole thing collapses, or the fire comes. And now some of the musicians, they just make the smoke and fire coming and the stage, and they're thinking that's fun. When the real fire comes, they're thinking this is just the fun, and many people burn. So what the Word of God is saying, when the people say nothing is going to happen, we have peace and safety, he says, then there will be sudden destruction will come. And so God has warned us time and time again. There are some people do not take the warning. We are the children of God. So he says, those people, when the sudden destruction will come, they will not escape. And even the sudden destruction, he's saying, how it will be like labor pain. Now the labor pain comes suddenly, like when the baby is formed until 9 months and nine and a half or closer to the 10th month, that's the time suddenly there will be labor pain. Start little by little, more and advance, then you know the baby is going to come. But if some foolish said, oh, nothing happened, this happens all the time. That's why the accident happens and the lady delivers the baby in the car or the taxi or the police car and all of these things. Why? Because they are not paying attention to the labor pain. And so when we have this kind of signs of coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be alert. He has given us many signs. And somebody says, tell me the signs of his coming. There are so many. And if they are all fulfilling, one of the signs that the Israel people will come to their land and they will flourish. It's happening right now. So Jesus Christ can come anytime. So what he's trying to say, don't be ignorant. Verse 4.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief.
Again he's saying, brethren, you are not in darkness. So he's saying the thief comes in the dark. So he said, you are not in darkness. He's not talking about the night and day. He's talking about spiritual darkness. We are not the children of darkness, but we are the children of light. Go to the Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. We were in the dark. We were in the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus Christ has redeemed us, or translated us. Please read.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
See, this kingdom of darkness is not an ordinary kingdom. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There is a power of darkness. Ordinary dark, there is no power. You just turn the switch, this goes away. But he's talking about the demonic forces, works of the darkness, or the power of the devil. But he says, God has translated us, or changed us, or pulled us out into the kingdom of his dear Son. Or some translation says, kingdom of his dear Son in the light. So we were in the dark. Now we are in the light. In Christ, there is no darkness. If you live in Christ, then you are living in light. You don't have to hide yourself. You don't have to go in the dark. You don't have to do certain things which is not pleasing in the sight of God. So he says, we are in the light. Let's read the verse 5.
Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
So again he's saying, we are not the children of the darkness. We are the children of light. Now, he's just reminding, if you are a children of light, then what you do? You do the works of the light. Don't do works of darkness. You walk in the light. You have the fellowship of the children of God. If somebody says, I am a born again child of God and I am the child of light, then what are you doing in the dark? You supposed to have the fellowship of the children of God. Read the 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. Once you are born again, you will look for the fellowship.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
See, it doesn't cleanse you automatically. Jesus Christ shed his blood for the whole world. Does the whole world is cleansed? No. Then what is this? He says, you are born again, child of God. If you are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, you have to keep the fellowship with the children of God. Otherwise, there is a chance that you are going to get dirty. You are going to get filthy. So he says, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, who is he? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never walked in the darkness. He was never lived in the sinful activity. He was always in the light. He says, I am the light of the world. And that light gives us life. There is a life in Jesus Christ and he is light. So he says he is light. We have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. What does it mean? He says, if you are a believer, start having fellowship with the believers. If you are alone, you don't know what you have. When you are in the fellowship, brothers and sisters can encourage you in the Lord. And that's why the fellowship, the Bible study, going to church is important to grow. Now some people say, I don't go to church, I can have a fellowship in my house. And who is conducting? Oh, we do conduct the service. We go to another house, they conduct the service. That is not the will of God. God has given us fivefold ministry. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we see verse 11. There are fivefold ministers. For what? Edifying the body of Christ. So we have to go to church, listen to the word of God, have a fellowship with the saints of God, then we cleanse by the blood of Jesus Christ continuously. It's not like a one-time cleanse. People say once you saved, saved forever. It doesn't work that way. You have to plead the blood for every day. You have to stay in the blood for every day. And that is the cleansing power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
He says you should not be sleeping like others. He's not talking about the regular sleep. He's talking about the spiritually sleeping. That means you are not alert. Jesus Christ is coming. So you have to be alert in a spiritual manner. So he said, then what happens? He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So Christian life is what? Watchful. What are you watching for? Go to the 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. There is an enemy always coming to destroy you. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what we have to be watchful. That's what we have to be alert. Because the devil comes to destroy you. If you are not reading the Bible, if you are not praying, if you're not going to church, if you're not studying the Word of God, you would not know what the devil's tactic is. The Word of God says, be sober and be vigilant. If you drink or if you take a drug, are you sober? No. If you are not sober, then your mind doesn't work. So spiritually the same way, if you are not sober spiritually, devil can attack you in different ways. So we have to be alert. Smoking, drinking, or taking drugs, that thing will not keep your mind clean. Somebody says, without smoking, my mind doesn't work. That is the trick of the devil. I told you, one minister said it. Without smoking, I cannot preach. Why? Every preacher has to smoke? No, I don't smoke. So what I'm trying to say, we have to have a sober mind, alert mind, to understand the will of God. Let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7.
For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
Now this is 2,000 years ago. He said when they sleep in night. Today, you can sleep daytime. Why? You do night duty and you sleep daytime. But that is not the will of God. You know, you should work morning into evening, and evening you should be resting. But now we have 24 hours duties. And that's why people are sick. If everybody in America or all over the world, Monday through Friday, Sunday, Saturday off, and work only morning shift, and that's it, no evening, no night. Somebody said, what happened to the hospitals? You won't need the hospitals. If you live a healthy life, you don't need hospitals. Because we are doing foolish things. We are eating bad. Our sleeping habit is bad. And we are not taking care of our life. That's why the sickness and disease in this world. And people are working three duties and four duties to keep up the money. And that money they earn, their money goes to another way. Goes to the doctor, goes to the lawyer, goes to other way. So God wants you to be healthy. So if you take care of your life, drink water, take good rest, sleep, and don't do overtime or don't do night duties, you'll be fine. But the people do it because now there is no day and no night. 24 hours, bright light. Go to New York or go to Philadelphia, Center City. When you walk there, you feel like you're walking in the daytime or better than the daytime. So he says, when the people, they sleep at night. Today is not the same. Today we sleep anytime and you work anytime. People drink from morning until night. Those days, Only people will drink in the night time. They work hard and they drink a little bit and go to bed, not drinking and looking for some trouble somewhere else. So now people are drinking day, night, afternoon, anytime. He's giving an example. The people who are worldly people, they're doing everything in the night time. But we are the children of God. Verse 8.
But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
Now he said, if you are sober-minded, then what you have? You have the faith of God, you should have love of God, and you should have hope in Christ that he's coming, and be sure about your salvation, you're not going to lose. Hold on to the Lord. Some people will come and say, once you saved, saved forever. That is a dangerous thing. The St. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If the salvation you are not going to lose, then why you fear and why you tremble? Work out your salvation means when you got it, hold on it. That's what the Word of God is saying. And then Ephesians chapter 6, if you start reading from 10 to 17, it says, you have to not only little armor, but the put on the whole armor, because the devil is attacking you every minute. Please read.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what the Christian's supposed to be. Christian not supposed to be winkling. You should be powerful Christians. Okay, go ahead.
Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
See, you know the devil is there to destroy you, and he says that evil days are coming. Somebody says, when he's coming, evil is already here. These are not the days that evil you never saw. In the time of Noah, the Word of God says their thoughts were all evil. And constantly they were committing sin. Sodom and Gomorrah the same way. And sudden destruction came. So the evil days are ahead of us. We are in the evil days. But you did not see the evil day when the devil will be ruler of this world.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
You should be preaching the gospel. I don't have time to tell you everything. You should be preaching the gospel. You feel having the faith of God and you proclaiming to others what God has told you. Jesus Christ defeated the devil not by sword, but what? The Word. Word of God is like a sword. When you speak the word, devil doesn't have power through the Word of God. Because Jesus Christ says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Each time he brought the temptation and problem, what Jesus Christ says, it is written. So if you know the Word of God and the devil comes to tempt you, then you know the answer from the Word of God. And the Word of God says what? You resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. He's not going to run away from you if you don't know the word, if you don't know the truth, if you're not living in the Lord, if you're living in sin and then you start resisting devil, he's not going to go anywhere. He said, we have to have this all the full armor. He says many times, have the full armor of God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 7, he says, our fight is not with the people. And even the Ephesians chapter 6 we read, our fight is not with the flesh and blood. Flesh and blood with means people. Your wife is not your enemy, your husband is not your enemy, your brother is not your enemy, your sister is not enemy, your boss is not enemy. Who is your enemy? The devil. Devil is the enemy, and that's we have to recognize. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
See, without God, you cannot fight your enemy. We have to have God in our side. If you are a disobedient child, devil is not going to listen to you. Do you know when the Shiva's sons tried to cast the demon out? They thought it's easy. Paul just says in the name of Jesus, go away. So we are going to do the same. What the devil says? Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? He knew that he's his people. He says, you are mine. You coming to destroy me? So only God listens to his children. If you are a child of God, then you can ask to the Father and he will give it to you. He will not listen to the sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer only he listens once. What? Father, forgive me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Save my life. That's the only prayer he listens. But if you are in sin and say, Lord, give me a car. Give me a house. Give me this, give me that. He said, who are you? I don't understand you. I don't recognize you. Your prayer is what? Abomination. That's what the word of God is saying in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. If you don't listen to God, your prayer is abomination. So he says, I'll listen to you. Our warfare is not with the flesh, with the devil and his armies. So you fight the war with what? The Spirit of God. We only get victory by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
God hath not appointed us to wrath. What does that mean? Wrath is not ordinary wrath. Wrath is the destruction. Wrath is the hellfire. God has not called us to put us in the hell. God does not want anyone to go to hell. God says, I want everyone to repent and come to the saving knowledge of God. God says, listen, here is the death, here is the life, and he says, choose life. So God doesn't want people to go to hell. Then the people said, then why God made the hell? Hell is for the Satan and his followers. Whose are his followers? Satan has his own army. They fought with God and one third is thrown down to hell. And they are in chain. They are doing some of the work, but they are on leash. They are not unleashed yet. When they unleash, in the time of tribulation, there will be so much problems. So now he says, we are the children of God and we have power of God. The devil cannot attack us. He cannot do harm to us if you stay in the Lord. And that's what we have to stay in the Lord. We are not going to be destroyed in this world. And so God knows better. If God wants to destroy the whole world, what did he do? Take the Noah and his family out. When God wanted to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah, he took the Lot and his family out. And if God wants to destroy this world, he will take his people up. And so the word of God says, God has not appointed us to the wrath. Read the first chapter and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 also.
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
See, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That means we are already in the mind of God that we are not going through the tribulation. The wrath is not upon us. The judgment is not upon us. If you read the St. John chapter 5, 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
No condemnation, passed from death unto life. Who? Who listens to the word of God, who believes in Jesus Christ, that person has eternal life, and that person will not come unto condemnation. Means what? In judgment. The judgment day is coming. The horrible days are coming. But we are not going to go through the tribulation. Why? Because we are believing Jesus Christ. We will be completely safe. Go to the Revelation chapter 3 verse 10.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth.
See, to whom he will keep out of this temptation, you have kept my word. Means you listening to me, you obeying me, you following me, you living according to the word of God. I will not allow you to go to the tribulation. When the tribulation is coming over the whole world, but the children of God will be safe and protected. That's why we have to live in God. That's why this chapter is saying Jesus Christ can come anytime like a thief in the night. Are we ready? Let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 10.
Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
St. Paul is not only talking about believers. To be peace with believers, encourage one another. So here the word of God is saying, when you love one another, help one another, not only that, he says, especially about the people of God, the preacher, the minister. Some people do not have the respect for the ministers. Let's read verse 12 and 13.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord.
Who are laboring in you. And who are serving the Lord. That's the pastors and ministry he's talking about. Okay, verse 13.
And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves.
That's what he's saying. They are teaching you. They are taking care of you spiritually. So you give them high respect. When I was a believer, I'm not telling you to do that. But when I was a believer, and we go to pastor's office to meet the pastor, I would go on my knees. And give respect to my pastor. But that much respect I had for the pastors. So here he's saying, you have to be very careful talking about your minister, how to minister to them, how to listen to them, how to give high respect. Go to the Romans chapter 13 and start reading from verse 1 to 7. All the authorities God has given, maybe our president, maybe police officer, maybe your governor, maybe your boss, maybe pastor. God put it there. So what do you do? Please read.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
See, this power only given by God. Do you know Jesus Christ was standing before the Pilate And Pilate said, I can set you free. What did he say? You have no power. Only power is given from above. So each and every authority, God set it there.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
So he says, when the higher authority is there, God has put it there. If you resist that authority, what are you doing? You are resisting God.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
Now here is saying, the ruler will not do any harm to you. But if you do something wrong, then you have to be afraid. If you didn't do anything wrong, no authority will harass you. Sometimes some people do harass you wrongly, but then finally they will know that you are a good citizen. And they will praise you. So he said, if you are not doing anything wrong, they will give you some respect. But you do something right. If you do something wrong, then you will be punished. Read further.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
When the police officer came to the John the Baptist, they said, what should we do? He didn't say, throw away your guns and swords. He said, be happy with your wages. What does it mean? Don't rob people. Don't take bribe. Be happy with your wages. He didn't say, you should not be police officer. Give up that thing and follow me. No. So we have to have the armies and navies and everything. So the fight to the enemy. Fighting the enemy is not a sin. It says God has put them there. God's law is saying if you abiding by law, nobody should do any harm to you. If you're breaking the law, you will punish. And if they punish, that is legal. From the beginning, he says, if you kill somebody, that person should be killed. So that's the justice. That's the word of God. But the people do not know because the devil trying to tell today, kill the babies. They are innocent. They don't know anything. But you cannot kill the criminal. Criminal should go free, no death penalty. But you can kill the baby. This is all not godly. Okay, go ahead. Please finish.
Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Now there is a group of people. They call themselves born-again Christians. And what they're doing, they don't pay taxes, they don't pay customs. They said, we know how to, because we are the children of God. We give it to God. We give tithes to God, but no taxes. What Jesus Christ said, show me the coin. Which picture is this? Caesar's. What is belong to Caesar? Give it to Caesar. Jesus Christ said to give taxes. So Jesus Christ paid taxes. So we should not be saying, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want to pay tolls. Go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 14. We are going to finish soon. Okay, go ahead.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, and to all men.
So now he said about the believers, he said about the government officers, he said about the pastors and ministers. Now he says in your church, there might be some weaker vessel. In your church, there might be some feeble-minded. In your church, there might be somebody doesn't understand too much. Don't make that person trash. Love that person. Not only those, but he said to all men. Each and every person is the child of God. Doesn't matter if they are black, white, brown, any country, any nations, we are all one. We are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have common things. Everyone called Father what? Abba, Father. So we are the children of God. So he said, do everything good to all people. Now, if you read from verse 16, look at your Bible. All these scriptures are very short. Start reading from verse 16.
Rejoice evermore.
Now, rejoice evermore. It's a very short verse, right? But it's important. You have to rejoice in the Lord. If you don't, the devil will come and make you depressed, make you cry, make you miserable, and then you lose your joy of salvation. Okay, verse 17.
Pray without ceasing.
See, this verse also is a small. Pray without ceasing. Do you pray? Yes, I do. When? When I go to church. Are you going to church just to pray? He says, pray without ceasing. In the church, in the house, in your car, in your garage, wherever you are. Pray without ceasing. When you come to church, when you pray, what is your prayer? Edifying the body of Christ. Pray such a way that other people will get a chance. And when you start praying, things will start happening. Verse 18.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Now everything give thanks means what? Something comes good in your way, something comes bad in your way, some problem comes, don't grumble. Whatever comes in your way, start thanking. Because this is the will of God. But we have to say, God is watching over me. Why this came in the middle of the way? Maybe to thank God. My car got total. Thank God. How, why are you thanking God for my car got total? You're not dead yet. That's why you have to thank God. I lost my job. Oh, thank you. Why are you thanking I lost my job? Maybe God is going to give you a better job. That's what we have to think. Everything what comes in your way, you have to think God knows better. And we have to keep on thanking. If you lost the job and say, God, I paid my tithe, I go to church all the time, you let my children beg for bread now, I am not going to church, I'm not giving my tithe anymore. What's going to happen? Who is the loser? We are the loser. That's not the Lord's work. One time the word of God will come like a sharp object and pierce you. Say, thank you, Jesus. One day I was preaching, and two boys were standing there, teenagers. And when I was saying, don't go to movies, don't smoke, don't drink. And they said, this man always say like this. And they said, let's get out of here. And they went and sat in the movie theater. Sitting in the movie theater, and they're hearing same thing. Don't go to movies. So they got so scared and came out of the movie halftime and called me the next day morning. Pastor Peter, come to our house. We cannot have peace. I said, what happened? Your preaching was going in my bones. And in my movie, I cannot enjoy the movie. What did you decide? No more movies. And they had the radio, no television. Threw the radio out and say, we want to have service in our house every week. And they got saved. So what happens? The word of God is like what? Two-edged sword. It pierces you. And it pierces you, then you say, thank you, Jesus. Something good I'm learning. And that's what the word of God is saying. So we have to what? Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Okay, verse 19.
Quench not the Spirit.
Now somebody says, I don't know what this is. Quench not the Spirit. We are the Spirit beings. God only talks to you through the Spirit of God. If you are not born again, you are dead. You will not understand what I'm saying, what God is saying. So Word of God says we were dead and this God quickened us through Christ. And now we are alive. So what we have? We receive the Spirit of Christ. When we receive the Spirit of Christ, the word of God says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
See, He said, because you are sons. How did you become sons? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the children of God. According to book of St. John, chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received Him, who? Christ. To them He gives the power to be called the sons of God. So He said, because you are sons, what I'm doing? I am giving you the Spirit of My Son. That means you are born again, children of God. And book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9, He says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So now you are born again, you got the Spirit of God, you got the Spirit of Christ, and then you have to have the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. And then you stay in the Spirit. If you do anything wrong, what will happen? You are quenching the Spirit. Spirit will say, don't do this, don't do that. You have signal in your spirit, right? Your spirit will tell you, don't do that. But if you keep on doing it, wrong thing, what are you doing? Quenching the Spirit of God. Verse 20.
Despise not prophesying.
Now somebody says, I don't understand this. Despise not prophesying. There are churches who do not believe in Holy Spirit. There are churches who do not believe in prophecy. They don't believe in fivefold ministry. So if somebody starts speaking in tongue, they will tell you, your devil, get out of another room or never come back. If somebody prophesies, they say, oh, this is all devils. I don't believe in prophecy. God speaks to you through the man of God. Prophecy is like a two ways. Prophecy is preaching. Now I'm preaching, I'm prophesying. And prophecy also is foretelling what God is telling you. So when man of God tells you about you or about the word of God, don't despise. You say, if it is for me, thank you, Jesus. 100 people might be sitting in there. And in the message, some person gets something, some person gets something, some person gets something. Because everybody has the message. Don't say, Pastor was today crazy. He started doing crazy things and he hurt my feeling. That is despising the prophecy. Okay. Verse 21.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good.
He says, prove all things and hold fast which is good. Don't leave it what God has given to you. And now let's finish. This is 23 words. It's a very important word.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Abstain from all appearance of evil. Somebody says, what is this? You know, if you are a believer, you have to think what God wants from you. If you're going to bar to drink a milk, what other people are going to think? Where did you go to bar? Oh, I was drinking milk. You don't go to bar to drink milk. So you going, so evil appearance. People are going to think you are a drunk man. Even though you are not walking like this, you came from the bar. You go every day to bar. It's not a good thing. It's the evil appearance. There was a minister come to our church. And prostitute comes to his house and he let them come in. And even they sleep in his bed. I said, what are you doing? Oh, I don't do anything. I said, sir, that's the appearance of evil. And some people will say, oh, Pastor Peter, can I go to teach somebody and have a meeting? Okay. Than going an overnight sleeping in somebody's house. What is that? Appearance of evil. And when I told that man, you cannot do that, next Sunday he said, I'm leaving the church. Pastor doesn't want me to go and preach. What? You're not going to go in somebody's house to sleep in the name of preaching. And if you come into my church, somebody says, oh, International Christian Fellowship minister goes and sleeps around in somebody's houses. We don't want that. If you don't want to come to church, that's fine with me. But we do not want appearance of evil. Okay, verse 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
And so somebody will say, okay, I read the verse 24. He says, faithful is he that calleth you will do it. That means God will do it. You don't have to do anything. If you don't want to do anything, then why he is telling all of these things? Pray and be live holy, away from appearance of evil and everything he said. They forgot everything. And he took the verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. He will take you to heaven. It doesn't work that way. We have to live holy and clean life. Then he will take us, not automatically. Now he says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. He said, hey, this is good. I go to church to get a holy kiss. You have to know you have to be holy, then your kiss will be holy. Holy kiss will be not coming if you are unholy. So the unholy people coming and saying, your Bible says, holy kiss, so I'm kissing. And that's what the people were doing in other churches. No sin in their life. Otherwise, your kiss is not holy. And then he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. What does it mean? Now, I gave them preaching. If that wasn't printed like here, I give it to you. What does it mean? You don't take it to you, give it away. So he said, I gave this letter to you, now pass it on. When you go home, you're supposed to tell somebody, do you know what was preaching today? When I go home, my mother-in-law calls for prayer. She said, what was your preaching today? I said, oh, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read that. So what you have to do, what you learn, tell others. That's what St. Paul is saying. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we thank you for giving us grace. Lord Jesus, help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.